Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cold Feet Podcast. Join our journey as we interview people in this cold plunge and we delve on the adventure of holistic health, athletic development, barefoot education, questioning the norm, and so much more. So dive in, grab a hot cocoa, and enjoy the episode.
Before we start our podcast episode, we would like to give a brief shout out to our podcast sponsors. Most shoes harm your mobility by over-restricting your foot's natural movement. With the Ursus from Barefoot Athletics, a shoe designed with minimal restrictions, your feet can move the way nature intended, so you can move with more confidence and strength in every step. Barefoot Shoes was founded by Chris Duffin, who attributes proper foot biomechanics as foundational to his success in squatting and deadlifting over 1,000 for reps. He created Barefoot Shoes to provide a minimal shoe designed for strength athletes. Go to barefoot.shoes/TBSR to check out the Ursus, and you can save 10% with the code TBSR10 to purchase the strongest minimalist shoe available. As a gym owner, I usually lift barefoot. When I can't lift barefoot, I love lifting in my barefoot shoes for both the health benefits of lifting barefoot and the increased ground feel I have in all my lifts. You don't need supplements to build muscle, lose fat, and get healthy, but the right ones can help. That's why over 350,000 fitness folk have chosen Legion. Well, that and their 100% natural products, their clinically effective ingredients and doses, and their no-hassle money-back guarantee. I've been following Michael Matthews, the CEO of Legion Athletics, journey since 2012, and I am super duper impressed with their supplements. They have a wide variety of everything from protein powders, pre-workouts, post-workouts, omega-3s, and bundles. And you can save a whooping 20% with the discount code HABER, H-A-B-E-R. So just log in to legionathletics.com, and the discount code is HABER for 20% off. Earthrunners are some of my favorite minimalist sandals. Earthrunners were created to rewild our lives in response to the typical modern domesticated lifestyle, which is causing numerous health, psychological, and social issues. Through rewilding and grounding, we aim to bring stronger, healthier, and more resilient individuals and communities back to our society. If you're not familiar with grounding is exposing your bare feet or body to the earth beneath you. And if you're unable to do that, you can ground with sandals like Earthrunners with their unique copper plug and copper laces. Grounding has a huge display of benefits such as reducing inflammation, improving sleep, and improving happiness. So you can check out Earthrunners at earthrunners.com, and you can use our discount code of TBSR10 to get 10% off. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Cold Feet Podcast. I am joined by this Iron Woman, national Israeli team flag football player, former national lacrosse player, and former basketball player, the one and only Ha. Ha, take it away.
Hi, everyone. It's Ha.
Ha, can you tell us why your name is Ha?
Sure. So I was a freshman in college playing basketball, and one of the seniors decided to... I guess the H and the A at the end switch, so it was Sarah Ha, and then it just got shortened to Ha. So that's my sports name, I guess.
So short name, but very, very powerful person. So Ha today being a triathlete, both in the literal sense as an Iron Woman, but also has played three professional sports in her life and still does, wanted to dive in today about vulnerability. So Ha, can I ask you, What do you mean by vulnerability? What does that mean, being vulnerable as an athlete, and why is that a topic that you wanted to explore today?
So I'll start. So Sean wanted to talk about an athlete's mindset and being super strong, and being that I have experience playing on two national teams and a professional basketball team, I might be a good person to talk to. And my response was, well, I'm not feeling so strong right now. I'm not feeling as such a role model. And maybe we can talk about vulnerability. And I kind of got this idea because I guess in the end of May, I quit my job that was deeply meaningful to me of 6 years. Here in Israel, I was coaching lacrosse, and I kind of like lost my family, Like, this, the reason that I moved to Israel was to play and coach lacrosse, and it was a very difficult decision for me. I really miss a lot of things about it, and now I'm kind of struggling. I don't really know what to do, so I'm seeing a life coach. I asked for help because I have no idea what I want to do with my life, and I said I kind of feel like I'm the imposter syndrome. So, do you know what that is?
I do.
Have you heard of that?
I've spoken about imposter syndrome many times in my podcast, but why don't you answer for our audience?
Yeah, so imposter syndrome is kind of like when you feel like, okay, I'm this incredible athlete, and I'm in a leadership role, and that's kind of how I'm acting, but I don't actually feel like that. So I kind of said this to the person that's helping me, and I said, like, I don't so right now I'm coaching the U-17 flag football team, the national team, which is newly formed. And I said, like, I don't know if I jumped in too quick. I didn't feel quite ready after leaving my lacrosse job because I'm still dealing with a lot of things. And I kind of feel like I'm an imposter. I feel like I'm supposed to be the strong coach that everybody needs to look up to, and I always need to have all the answers. And she said, well, you can use that as a teaching point. So you can teach your team that, you know, you don't always have to feel like this crazy strong athlete every single day. You can teach them that it's okay to have bad days, to not know what you're doing, and to kind of struggle through life a little bit. So that's kind of where this idea came from.
Yeah, well, everyone who's rich, famous, world-class strength coach are all human beings who are born out of a womb just like me. That's Sarah's quote, not you, Sarah, my wife. And the way she says it, because I, as a coach, what I try to do in the vulnerability world is I embrace my vulnerability. So I say, like, what fears come up when I step into the field for the first time? Now, I've trained in my career, you know, basketball players, hockey players, lacrosse players, football players, baseball players, bikers, climbers, you name it. And all these athletes, what I had in common when I approached them for the first time is fear. I get to the field, the court, the pitch, the stadium, and it's like, what are they going to think about me? Who am I to train them, right? I'm just this dude who knows nothing. But there's a concept like using is fake it till you make it, not in an artificial way, but in a way of approach the game with confidence, approach your session and your leadership role with confidence. They'll believe in you, and you'll start believing in yourself. And as whatever system you implement with them works, you'll start believing more in yourself and gain the confidence. So it's not bad to be vulnerable. In fact, I see you have your journal in front of you. I journal like twice a day. I bring my journal to the field a lot. In fact, sometimes if I have a 20-minute break between sessions with your team and your team, the team that you're coaching, the team that you're playing on, I pull up my journal and I say, okay, how did this practice go? Was it executed at the level I wanted it? Did any emotions come up? I'm not saying did Bob's triple extension not work, because it worked, right? He ran or she ran well. I'm saying, did that practice go the way you wanted it? Was there any flaws in the practice from your end that could have been done better? Did any of the other coaches push me in the wrong way? Did any of the players push me in the wrong way? A lot of times when players are disrespectful to us, me as a coach, I take it personally. Why is this player disrespecting me? Why is this player not listening? And that's being vulnerable. It's okay to be vulnerable with your emotions. And I think if you are not vulnerable, if you don't journal about them, if you don't think about them, then you won't grow. So like, open up to your fears and your faults in order to grow as a human and then as a coach.
Mm-hmm. Yes, those are all great points. And something that came up for me was, like, when you said fake it till you make it, but you have to be authentic. And that's something that I try to do. So whether that's like talking to friends, you know, I have a couple of very, you know, one or two very close friends where I can actually be myself and open up and like let someone know what's going on. Even that's if I'm coaching and I like say that to my team, hey, like, I need a break. I'm going away for 3 months and I need this to kind of like work on myself. As long as you're authentic, it's much better than just like faking that and trying to be that person, but you're not really there yet. I think it's much better to let the people in your life know what's going on And then they can support you, and that way you can support them in case they're ever going through something. Like, they know that you're there, that they can talk to you about it.
So I think that the term fake it till you make it applies very much to the imposter syndrome, meaning don't be afraid. Be afraid of being an imposter. No one wants ungenuine people. You're not going to become an Olympic level coach. You're not going to get the funding. You're not going to, you know, become this world-class successful coach if someone's fake, correct?
Correct.
But what I'm saying is, if you feel like an imposter, so combat those imposters with fake it till you make it. Combat with, hey, it's okay. I'm just some 30-year-old something coach, human being in the world who's trying to make the world a better, greater place. And I'm going to fake it until I begin gaining the confidence to lead the coach. I do not mean in any way to be unauthentic. I think it's very important to share the journey you're on. And I do this with the guys I work with. I do this with the girls I work with. I tell them. In fact, something I've told my players many times, I remember playing a tackle football game. And like I got into a big fight with one of my close friends right before. From America, I was his best man. I flew into America to be his best man. And like the whole game, I was not there. Someone's like, Sean, wake up. As the guy like barrels over me in the tackle football game, my mind was not there. So if you don't like be conscious of your emotional growth, then you won't be able to be present. And it's okay to share with your players. We are all human beings. And if you can't be vulnerable as a coach, then they won't trust you. They won't believe in you. It's okay to have a long day. It's okay to be stressed. It's okay to blow off steam. But you have to share with them. If you're just like having a crappy day and you don't tell them, hey guys, I had a really long day, my shoulder's hurting, like, can we like, you know, make things go real? Cool. If you just snap at them, they won't understand why you're acting this way, and then it'll be harder to communicate with them and grow with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that kind of relates to this growth mindset. So I have a couple of book suggestions for all you young and old and all age athletes out there. First one is Mind Gym. And the second one, which I'm reading now, is called Mindset. And it talks about a fixed mindset or a growth mindset. And a fixed mindset, you don't like have that. You're not striving to learn, and you don't learn from your mistakes, and you're afraid, so you don't do things. And so a growth mindset is kind of you're always constantly wanting to learn, and you kind of you have to feel your emotions and not just forget them and push them aside. And I think, so I just got back from Italy and I was there for 6 days, and it's kind of something that I needed to do for myself because I'm struggling right now with some self-confidence and some self-esteem issues. So some of the things that I do are I like to solo travel. I read a lot so I can learn and I can improve myself. I play the piano and I exercise. Those are kind of the things that I do to kind of give myself some self-confidence. And I think lately, like, I haven't had as much motivation to exercise or to work out. So Sean knows that I used to do like 100 push-ups a day. And within the past few months, I just like can't do it. Like I just can't do it, and it's okay, and it's okay to take a break. And I think in the past I would have just suffered through it and be like, okay, do 100 push-ups a day. But I needed that break now, and I needed to go out and solo travel, and so that's what I just did. And I was mountain biking, which was only the second time I've done it in my life. And I came to this, like, there were two sides of the river, and on the way down, I went on the other side of the river. On the way back, I went on another side. And on my way back, I was like, man, I wish I was on the other side because the path is a lot clearer. It's a lot easier to mountain bike. And on the way back, I was going through like a lot of gravel, and I was really scared. And then I came to this area where there was just like a huge puddle. And I tried to find another way. I tried to go on the side, and it was really thorny, and I got thorns in my hands and my legs. And then I was like, okay, trying to problem solve. And I was like, all right, well, the only way I'm going to go is to go through.
I
couldn't take a detour. And so I was like, okay, I took my shoes off and I walked through the cold water.
Why were you wearing shoes in the first place?
And I carried the mountain bike, and I was like, okay, this is like, I need to go through it. So I feel like that's kind of, you know, metaphor. You need to experience your emotions and go through them and kind of like sit and deal with them in order to make advances and to become a better person.
Yeah, that's a fantastic metaphor. We're going to wrap up today's show, and I appreciate that. I do want to address one point you said, and that was you said my hobbies are reading, piano, and training, right? So I think as coaches and athletes, it's super important that you have hobbies that have nothing to do with sports, movement, training. That means if it's yoga, it's not good. If it's gymming or weekend frisbee or lacrosse, it's not good. You have to have something that's totally disassociated from the sports world. So for you, it's piano. For me, it's singing. But if half your career is spent in the gym or on the field coaching people and playing, then it's very easy to lead to burnout and never really explore yourself because you're always in that like athlete mindset, go get it, go get her mindset, which is a good mindset to have. But for all those out there, my final tip is just find something that you can completely disassociate your sports friends, your work, and just enjoy it with your phone off, being present, not for Instagram, but just for yourself. I was going to ask you about the 100 push-ups a day, and now that you said you're off it, I won't bring up the topic. But I,
well,
wanted
I did
to,
them today.
Sick.
I did
what I wanted to ask, all I remember is when I first met Haas, so we did a combine to practice for the team. We finished the combine like 3 hours in the sun of hard work, and she's like, breaking out push-ups. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I gotta do my 100 push-ups though. I think since then we've learned together about like the importance of like progressive overload and training consistently the whole body. But I think from what I perceived, that 100 push-ups was your like mental barrier, and you like were overcome. Like the 100 push-ups represented everything else in your life, and now you're not inherently channeling those stuff through the 100 push-ups. You're channeling this stuff head on. You're like, you're feeling those feels.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Alrighty.
That makes sense. And I'll just add like some more tips or to end. So I think like it's okay to ask for help. So it took me a while, but if you need to like reach out to a therapist, or if you can't afford it, talk to a close friend or family. I think spend some time away from your phone, like do something on your own, go get lost somewhere. I think it could give you some confidence. And yeah, be open with your friends and tell them what's going on. And it's okay to cry. I cry a lot these days. But yeah, we're all human beings and we go through phases and it will get better. So that's it.
Thanks so much for tuning in, guys. Step away from your phone after you listen to this podcast. And peace out until the next one. Hey, I'm Sean, and I'm the Barefoot Athlete. And I want to welcome you on this 6-week Barefoot Transition course. 2.5 years ago, we started developing this course, and we wanted it to be 12 months long. Why 12 months? Because we felt that if you just spent dozens of years in cushioned shoes, you can't transition that quickly. Realizing that 12 months is not sustainable, we shortened it to 6 weeks. And in these 6 weeks, you're going to dive into foot, knee, ankle, hip, shoulder mobility. You're going to dive into calf, ankle, knee, hip strengthening. You're going to learn how to take care of your feet, how to release them with tons of soft tissue work. After the first phase is over, after the 3 weeks are done, your pain is gone. Your knees, your hips, your feet are feeling great, ready to rumble. Move on to the advanced stage. We learn how to land. We learn how to jump. You learn how to produce force and absorb force. Every single week is action-packed with play, fun, challenges to challenge yourself, your friends, your loved ones, and your community. Tons of strengthening, tons of footwork, and we can guarantee you that in 6 weeks' time, you will be much, much closer to being able to fully love life and live life in minimalist footwear. And the best part of it all, you're not limited to 6 weeks. So if you want to go back and repeat a phase, you're more than welcome to. So let's go, come along, and enjoy the course.